Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. Isn't God good to us? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. He has blessed us abundantly. And just an honor to be here tonight with each one of you. Love what I feel in this place tonight. It's in an atmosphere like this that God can do anything. Anything. Anything we have need of, our God can go abundantly above anything that we could even ask or even think about. That's the kind of God we serve tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. You can be seated tonight, and I thank Brother Shindall for allowing us to come. And I do want to, I love coming to churches that support us, because I think it's exciting because you have enabled us to minister in the country of Guatemala. And I just want to say thank you tonight for your giving to missions. This is a very strong missions giving church. And because of your giving, there are missionaries all over the world tonight. And you know the neat part, I think about it, is I believe that someday when we stand before God, we'll be rewarded for people that we've never met before, but it's because we've given, we've prayed for them, and God has reached them. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So we are very grateful on behalf of Global Missions for your giving and for your sacrifice so that we can go and fulfill the will of God in countries all around the world. And I'm just thrilled to be here tonight representing the nation of Guatemala. And God has blessed us abundantly. This month, we are actually celebrating 33 years of working in the nation of Guatemala. And that kind of blows my mind because sometimes I feel like it should only be 33 years old. And I'm not. Praise the Lord. But God has been really good. My wife and I, when we first went to Guatemala, actually I went to Guatemala the first year by myself. I went down right out of Bible college, went down on the AIM program, and the plan was I was going to go for a year and then go back to Canada, and we would get married and we'd go on with our lives. And I got to Guatemala, fell in love with it. I knew that's where God wanted us to be. And my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, actually came down my last 2 weeks. I'm not sure if it was to see Guatemala or to make sure that I made it back to Canada. But she came down, and we returned to Canada, and we're married. And a month and a half after we were married, we get into a little Toyota hatchback car and drove 5,000 miles from eastern Canada all the way down to Guatemala. So that's a honeymoon. Praise the Lord. And even then, we had no idea that 33 years later, we would still be there. But it has been a phenomenal journey, and God has done some phenomenal things. And just before I get into a lot of that tonight, I do want to mention that in the entryway, we do have a couple of items that are very important to us, and we want to make sure everybody gets one of these. One is our bookmark, and the reason why that's so important is because that's our reminder to you to pray. And I believe that prayer moves the hand of God. Praise the Lord. Just a few months before we left Guatemala, one morning I was on my way to the Bible school, and someone tried to run me off the road. They banged into the back of my car, and then I didn't really pay much attention to it at that point because I know sometimes that's a tactic to rob your vehicle. And so I kept on going. He came up behind me again and rammed the back of my car again. And then a truck came up beside me and bammed into the side of my vehicle. And when that happened, I knew that it was very serious. And I floored it and get down to where I saw a police truck. I pulled it up on the grass beside the police truck. And the policeman told me, he said that the reason he was there is because in the last few weeks they've robbed several vehicles and kidnapped several people. And I don't know what their intention was, but I got safely to the Bible school with a police escort. But when I got home that night, there was an email on my computer from a pastor in Canada, Brother Steve O'Donnell, and he told me, he said, that morning that their son came to the table with our prayer card and said that he felt that they needed to pray for us over breakfast that morning. And I believe it was their prayers that protected me. Praise the Lord, because that's the way that God works. And so I don't take these things lightly because I do believe that prayer moves the hand of God. So please get one of these bookmarks, and when you see it, just say, God, protect them. God bless them. Give revival in Guatemala. And I believe that that's going to happen in Jesus' name. And the second thing is a trifold. They kind of work hand in hand. The trifold reminds you to pray. this tells you what to pray for. And this talks about a lot of our ministries in Guatemala and outside of Guatemala. And so they are on the table in the entryway. And so if you could grab one of those after service, we'd be very grateful. We also have a number of items back there for sale. And anything you purchase there goes to help support the work in the nation of Guatemala. And I am very sorry that my family is not with me tonight. On Thursday of last week, they had to return to Guatemala because my wife's residency was expiring the first day of June. And any of you that have ever lived overseas, residencies are not easy to come by. And so she needed to get back. So her and my son got there just in time for the volcanic eruption. And I'll share a little bit about that in just a few minutes' time. But when we went to Guatemala back in 1985, we were young, but also the work in Guatemala was very young. At that point, there were 21 churches in our country and around 500 people baptized in Jesus' name. But I'm thankful tonight that I can share with you that in Guatemala, we presently have 258 established churches and over 22,000 people baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And it has been an unreal journey to see what God has done in our nation. And we are just so grateful that God has allowed us to be a part of the nation of Guatemala. And we actually have a video clip. Any of y'all like spring? They call Guatemala, I'm going to make you feel really sorry for us right now. They call Guatemala the land of eternal spring. And the reason they call it that is it's 75 degrees all year long. So don't you feel bad? Somebody had to make that sacrifice, so... And coming from Canada, trust me, it's not much of a sacrifice. Beautiful, beautiful country where the Lord has taken us to. Guatemala is a wonderful place, mostly Spanish-speaking, but it may surprise you that we have 23 other languages besides Spanish. We have 23 different Indian dialects, and we now have churches in 16 different languages besides Spanish. Praise God. So we are very grateful and very excited about that. But we want to take you tonight by way of video into the country of Guatemala. You'll see some of the beauty of the country, and you'll get a glimpse of what our ministry has been all about during these last 33 years in the nation of Guatemala. Let's play the video for them right now. I'm Brad Thompson, missionary to the country of Guatemala. During the past 30 years, the church in Guatemala has experienced exponential growth. Today, we have 258 churches established around the country and over 22,000 people baptized in Jesus' name. One of the key factors in the growth that we're experiencing in our nation is in the area of training. We firmly believe that every child of God has a God-called ministry, and it's our job as missionaries to train and equip those people to reach their potential in Christ so that they can in turn go and reach their nation for Jesus Christ. Because of this, the Lord has laid upon our heart to begin training programs around the country of Guatemala. It is our feeling that if people cannot come to us, then we will take the Bible school to them. And because of that, today we have 32 Bible school locations around our nation, and this year over 700 students that are being trained in those schools. The results of that are being seen in that every month we have one brand new church established and two brand new men entering into the ministry. You cannot train 700 people without seeing a tremendous move of God and impact in the local church. One of the areas that we're working in is called the Cuchumutan Mountains. The Cuchumutan Mountains are located around 9 hours from Guatemala City, and we're now building the Bible school that you see in the video in this area of the country. It's at an altitude of 12,000 feet above sea level, and in this area we presently have around 54 established churches. We already have 46 Bible school students that are studying in this Bible school, and we're believing that through this school, this whole area of Guatemala will be impacted. We presently have about one-third of this Bible school constructed, and we are needing to complete the construction. We have 10 rooms in the Bible school that we're needing to fund. Each one of those rooms will cost around $5,000. And that's what we're presenting here this weekend, is the need to complete these rooms so that we can have a Bible school to impact this mountainous area of Guatemala. This area is mostly Mayan Indian people. Many of the churches are very remote. We have students that walk up to 10 hours to get to Bible school classes. It's unbelievable what God is doing in Guatemala. Praise God. Now, since this video was done, in December, we held our first Bible school graduation at this Bible school up in the mountains. We had 12 students graduate from the school, and the cool part is tonight all 12 are in full-time ministry. And I think that is phenomenal. Praise the Lord. And six of them have actually gone into very remote areas they had to walk into to begin churches in some very remote villages. And that's really what missions is all about. When we went to Guatemala back in the mid-80s, we did not speak Spanish. I grew up in Canada. I studied French for 12 years in school. And God sent me to a Spanish-speaking country. And so we get down to Guatemala, and, you know, we're struggling learning Spanish. And I remember one day a pastor walked up to me, and he said, "You know, Brother Brad," he said, "besides Spanish, we have 23 other languages. I cannot begin to explain to you what I felt when he said that, because I was struggling to learn one, and there were 23 others. And I literally went to prayer, and I said, God, how are we ever going to reach this country?" And God began to impress upon me that our call to Guatemala was not that we would go personally into every village and town and we would personally start a church there, but our call was to train and equip the Guatemalan people so that they could go throughout their country and reach that nation with the gospel. They already know the languages, and through training, we now have churches in those 16 different languages. Praise the Lord. And we're just so grateful. You can't be around me very long without me talking about training and equipping people for ministry. Because there's a couple things I believe. One thing, I believe that every child of God has ministry. I believe we all have a purpose. I believe that God has a reason for each one of us. God has placed in us talents and abilities that He will anoint and use as we make ourselves available to Him. Praise the Lord. And I also feel that it's not just enough to have a place in the body, but I believe that we need to be trained and equipped, and we need to prepare ourselves because we need to give the very best that we can to God. Praise the Lord. And so we have purpose in our hearts during these years in Guatemala to train and equip, and because of that, tonight we have the 32 Bible schools, 712 students this year, and as we go back to Guatemala, our goal is to have 50 Bible schools around Guatemala and 1,000 students being trained every year. And you know why we're doing it? Because we want to raise up an army of Pentecostals that can go into every town, every village, and preach the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know how you feel, church, but I believe that Jesus is coming back soon. And if we really believe that, what we do, we need to do now. Jesus said to pray that He would send forth laborers. And sending is more than just telling someone to go, but it's putting tools in their hands. It's equipping them so that we together can reach our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say praise the Lord tonight? Praise God. So we are very grateful for what the Lord is doing and for the opportunity to minister and to be a part in the nation of Guatemala. Should the Lord tarry, I look forward to many, many more years working in that nation. Brother Shindall mentioned tonight that this past week we did have a horrible tragedy that hit our country. Guatemala is a very mountainous area. It's an area we do have 23 volcanoes around the country. A lot of them are active. And in our 33 years in that country, I have never seen what just happened. But on Sunday afternoon of last week, it started with an earthquake, and then about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a volcano, which is about 30 miles from Guatemala City and where our home is, erupted. And it was the worst eruption that they've seen in over 4 decades in the country of Guatemala. They said that the ash went 18,000 feet up into the air, or the lava, the main explosion, and the ash actually traveled up to 6 miles up into the air. And when something like that happens, what goes up comes down. And that ash began to fall over a big part of the country and over the capital city, which is a city of 4 million people. My wife and son were there, and my wife said that just from our home, they swept up over 100 pounds of ash, just to give you an idea of the magnitude of it. And on the Pacific coastal side is where the lava flows went, and that went down on the western side of the country. And it just went through several villages and towns, and it has been very, very devastating. There is a confirmed 109 people that were killed. 3,000 have been had to evacuate over their homes. They said like 1.7 million people have been directly affected by it. In the church, we had 10 people connected with our church that lost their lives, and 8 more of them right now are missing. A couple days ago, it was 18, but thankfully 10 have been found alive, which we're very grateful for. Praise the Lord. But I think one of the hardest things that I faced this week was sending money to purchase caskets for those 10 people. And then my assistant sent me a picture of my pickup truck loaded with caskets to head down to the coast of coastal area of Guatemala. And that just really tore my heart out. But one of the greatest needs that we're facing right now is to help with the relief efforts. And I've got a video clip that I want to share with you of the volcano and the destruction that happened. This actually was done by one of our pastors in the country of Guatemala. It's maybe not the best quality, and the singing in it is in Spanish, but we've put the words on it in English. But it gives you really an idea of the impact that this has had on the country of Guatemala. So I want you to see here firsthand of what's happened during this past week in our country. Let's play it for them right now.
Oh, Señor, cántalo conmigo. Las naciones de la tierra, acuérdate que tu favor y tu amor se han derramado sobre el mundo, oh Señor, en tu bondad, acuérdate. En tu bondad, acuérdate. Señor, queremos pedirte por las naciones de la tierra. Queremos pedirte que tengas misericordia de nosotros, que en tu favor, tu bondad, escuches el clamor de tus hijos en esta noche. Escuches el clamor de tus hijos alrededor del mundo entero. Que tengas misericordia de las naciones. Ten misericordia de nuestro país. Hermano, levante su voz y ahí donde usted está, empiece a clamar al Señor y a decirle: Señor, acuérdate que tú eres un Dios de pactos y que guardas los pactos desde la antigüedad, que nunca has fallado a tu palabra, Señor. Y que nunca fallarás a tu palabra jamás. Señor, clamamos esta noche por las naciones de la tierra. Que te acuerdes de ellas en misericordia, con tu favor, en el nombre de Jesús. Alguien diga amén. Acuérdate, oh Señor. Cántelo conmigo. De las naciones de la tierra, acuérdate. Que tu favor y tu amor se han derramado sobre el mundo, oh Señor, en tu bondad, acuérdate, acuérdate, Señor. Acuérdate, oh Señor, de las naciones de la tierra. Acuérdate que tu favor y tu amor se han derramado sobre. En tu bondad, en tu bondad. Acuérdate, díselo una vez más, en tu bondad.
Hallelujah. There's a lot of things I could present tonight as needs for Guatemala, but the greatest need we have right now is to help those that are hurting. We have truckloads leaving first thing in the morning, going down to the coast from the Bible school, and they'll be delivering food and different supplies. And I talked to them late last night, and they told me, they said, Brother Brad, the greatest need we have right now is for medications. They said, because of the ash that's in the air, there's a lot of respiratory problems. They're needing puffers. They're needing eye drops. They're needing creams for rashes and for burns and just so many different things that they're needing to meet the need for. And our people in Guatemala have responded with clothes and with food, but there's not a lot of money in Guatemala. And so really what we are needing is help to be able to purchase some of those items and get it down to the people that are in need. And I just place this before you tonight because it is something that is an urgent need in the nation of Guatemala. Praise the Lord. But you know what? We have seen tragedies throughout the years, and we've seen God turn them around for His glory. A few years ago, we had a horrible hurricane that hit Guatemala. We had roofs ripped off of 11 of our churches, and at the time, it was a horrible tragedy, but the churches that still had roofs opened up their doors, and they became refugee centers for the people that were affected, much like what's happening right now down on the coastal area. And God blessed, we were able to put the roofs back on the churches, but as a direct result of the hurricane, 5 brand new churches were started in Guatemala. Praise God. Because when you go in and you begin to minister to the needs of people, they open up their hearts to God. And I believe that through this tragedy right now in Guatemala, that God will be glorified. And I believe we're going to see God do some mighty things through what has been a tragedy. Aren't you glad that we serve a God like that? Praise the Lord. And so, praise God. So we just ask you that as you pray, that you'll pray for Guatemala, that you'll pray for those that are missing, that they will be found, and Lord willing, they'll be found well. Praise God. And we're just believing that God is going to take this and do a tremendous miracle. Praise God. I believe it's going to happen in Jesus' name. The Lord has blessed us in our country, and I'm very thankful for so many different things that God has done. And we're going to go into the Word of the Lord, and I'm going to share a little bit more of what God has done. But if you can open your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 2, let's stand together right now. And we're going to read from Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 and verse number 11 and verse number 12. Praise the Lord. And it's really good to see Sister Samantha here tonight, who came to Guatemala a couple of years ago when we were young. Praise the Lord. And it's good to see her and her family here tonight. Praise God. Mark chapter 2. The Bible says, and again he entered into Capernaum, talking about Jesus, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh to him because of the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then verse number 11, Jesus continues saying, he said, I say unto thee, arise. Take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Church, I'm thankful tonight that we serve a God that sometimes will leave us in awe. Have you ever been in a service where you've left and you're just sort of like, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that when there's difficult situations, sometimes God can step in and we just kind of step aside and say, did you see what God just did? That's the kind of God that we serve tonight. I believe in this service that somebody can leave this place tonight saying, I have never seen it done like that before. I have never felt God move in my life the way he moved in my life tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Because we serve a God that cares and is interested in every situation, and there is nothing that limits the power of our God. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. We've had the privilege of working in Guatemala now for many years. We've seen the work grow from a new work to a very mature work. We've seen the work really develop. We've got some beautiful buildings now in Guatemala that God has given to us. But there's many areas that we go into in Guatemala that aren't as nice as your church. I've preached in little huts, sort of like in Belize. That just little huts that have dirt floors and a thatched roof, and lucky if they have walls on it. I remember this one church I went to when the pastor was starting a work, and he invited me to go. And it was like a 10-hour drive from Guatemala City. And to get into where the church was at, we had to cross three rivers. And when I say cross three rivers, I mean there was no bridge. We had to go through the river to get into where the community was at. And so when we finally get in there, the pastor said, now, Brother Brad, he said, we don't have a church building. He said, you're going to preach from the porch in front of my house. And he said, the people will just stand out under the trees. And so when we pulled up, I saw the porch, and I saw like there was like probably 150 people there. And I also saw very dark clouds. And so they get singing and worshiping God, and they sang and they sang and they sang. And the more they sang, the darker the clouds got. And I said to the pastor, I said, brother, I said, it looks like it's going to rain. He said, oh, it'll be okay, Brother Brad. It'll be okay. The moment he turned the pulpit over to me, or the table over to me, there was this huge clap of thunder, and it started to pour. Well, I just figured, service is done. But nobody moved. They stood there under the trees in the open, and the pastor just kind of patted me on the back. He said, preach, Brother Brad, preach, Brother Brad. So I get up, and I preached a short message. And the whole time I preached, in my mind, I'm thinking, they're going to leave. Nobody left. They stood there and just were drenched. And when I gave an altar call, they came up. Some of them knelt in just flowing water down there. And they just got water was just everywhere. But 24 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We've gone into some areas where we've had service by the river, we've had service in huts, we've had all kinds of different areas. And you know something I have found out in these last 32 years? That it does not matter where we are at. It does not matter the circumstances in which we are having a service. The Bible does not say that where we're gathered together and there's carpet on the floor and we're comfortably seated, that Jesus is going to be there. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am going to be there. Praise God. That can be under a tree. That can be in a hut. That can be in a beautiful building. It does not matter. The important thing is that Jesus Christ is there, that his presence is in our midst. Because when he is there, blind eyes can be opened. When he is there, the lame can walk and lives can be transformed because Jesus is in the place. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful that Jesus is in this place. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. That tells me that it does not matter where we're at. If we'll begin to worship and we'll begin to praise him and we'll begin to exalt him, that the presence of Almighty God will be there. You know, I never could figure it out. People that come to church and they're like, it's been a rough day. Not feeling too good, Brother Shindall. I think I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the service. And we sit there like a bump on the log. We don't worship. We don't really enter into the presence of God. We don't entertain the presence of God. We let the whole service go by, and we really don't give anything in praise. And a lot of times, we leave feeling worse than when we came. But I'm here to tell you tonight that I've found that if I come and I'm burdened down with something and I begin to praise and I begin to worship the name of God, He lifts that burden from off of me. I come sick in my body and I give it the extra effort and I praise Him. In the middle of my praise, God can heal me. While I'm worshiping Him, He can minister to our needs. Praise the name of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Now, in this verse that we're reading here tonight, it says that Jesus entered into Capernaum. And the Bible says that He entered into a house. Now, I don't know whose house it was. I don't know what kind of a house it was, but, you know, I didn't even know there was a door here. I just turned around and thought, where can I use for a house? And I saw this door. And the reason I say that is, you know, a lot of times we're driving down the road and we don't even notice the houses we're passing. A lot of times we go about our business and you couldn't tell me how many businesses you passed, how many places you passed, just like I didn't realize that door was there. And I think that maybe that house was just a nondescript house that probably a lot of people didn't even know was there. Until Jesus came to that house. When Jesus went into that house became the most popular place in town. Because you know what happened? The Bible says it was noised that He was in the house. You know what that means? That means that people started saying, do you know that Jesus is there? And I believe that people started running around. They started saying, hey, if you have a need, You go down that street and a little bit to the left. Jesus is in that house there with that beige door. You go there and Jesus will meet your need. And He began to go from people to people and they began to tell people. It was noised abroad that He was in the house. And everyone with a need, everyone with a problem, everyone with an impossible situation began making their way to that place because Jesus was there. And they knew if Jesus is there, blind eyes. Eyes will be opened. The lame will walk. Miracles will take place because everywhere Jesus is at, things like that happens. Church, I believe that our churches need to become the most popular place in town. I believe that we need to get to the place where people drive by this church and they begin to say, I don't know what goes on in there, but every time I go past it, I feel something different. People should know that in this place, alcoholics are set free, drug addicts are delivered, that miracles take place because Jesus is in this place. Can you praise the Lord right now? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. You know how it's going to happen? If we noise it. You know what that means? You get a sick neighbor. I believe that what that means is we need to say, hey, listen, you come to my church. The power of God is there. We'll pray for you and God will take care of it. You got marital problems. You got needs. Come to my church because God is there and miracles take place there. As we begin to share and as we begin to reach out to our neighbors and to our family and we begin to noise it abroad, this place will be filled with people having their needs met. Can you praise the Lord? So people started hearing that Jesus was in the house. The Bible says that four men came. Brother, come help me. I know we're not four, but you're pretty big. This is beautiful. The quilt, I mean, not him. This. I hope he's humble. Four men came, bringing their friend. The friend was in a bed. He was paralyzed. They heard that Jesus was there. And they thought, man, if Jesus is there in that house, and we can get our friend into the presence of Jesus, everything will be taken care of. We need to understand, church, that for our God, there is nothing impossible. That if we can get into the presence of Jesus, he can take care of anything. They came carrying their friend. But the Bible says that because it was noised abroad, that house was full. It said there was no more room even at the door. I believe that even probably in the yardway. Got to be careful with this guy. But when they got close, you know, they could have said, oh man, that place is full. The Bible says they couldn't get close because of the press. You know what that means? That means that people were pressed so close together that nobody could get through. And they looked at it, and it could have been an impossible situation. They could have said, you know what? Let's just go back home, and we'll come some other day when the place isn't full. But these guys said, no, we have got to get our friend into the presence of Jesus. Because if we can get him into the presence of Jesus, everything will be okay, and Jesus will give him a miracle. They couldn't get in by the door. But as they were looking at it, one of them said, you know what? There's nobody up on the roof. And the four dudes climbed up on a roof with their friend. And I think they probably laid their friend off to one side. And they began to look at that roof. And they began to say, okay, we need to somehow open a hole in this roof. And we need to get our friend in. Now, you need to understand tonight, church, it wasn't their roof. I don't know, Brother Shindle, the Bible doesn't really say, but I think the owner was probably inside beside Jesus. You know, if I'm the owner and Jesus is in my house, I'm going to be right there beside him. And I think that as Jesus was teaching, the owner was there when all of a sudden he heard noise on his roof. And it was too many years ago to be Santa Claus. But he heard noise on the roof. And then probably he began to see a little bit of dust begin to trickle from the roof. Somebody said one time, they said, oh, it was just a cloth roof. I don't believe that because the Bible says they tore it up. They get up there with, I don't know if it was pickaxes or what they had, but they begin to open a hole in somebody else's roof. And I don't really know what was going through their minds, but I think that at some point they said, you know what? The owner is probably going to be really upset with us, but we will deal with him later. If we have to, we'll pay to fix it. We'll come and fix it ourselves. We'll do whatever we're going to do, but right now, the important thing is that we get our friend into the presence of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Church, listen to me. It's not always easy or convenient sometimes to get into the presence of Jesus. We may have to fast some. We may have to pray some. We may not feel like it, but we may have to push through and worship and praise him. But if we will make the effort and we'll get into the presence of Jesus, he will take care of everything in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So these guys, they open a hole in the roof. Now, church, it wasn't a hole. It was big enough to let a bed down. We're talking major skylight. But they open up the hole, and then they got their friend. And they lowered him down right into the presence of Jesus Christ. I don't know, but I think that, get back up here, bro. I think when they lowered that down, I think there were four heads looking into that hole, like as if to say, we did it, he's there, everything is going to be okay. Jesus was down there, and when Jesus saw it lowered down, The Bible said that when Jesus saw their faith, not his faith, Jesus saw their faith. Do you know something, church? You have family that's not in this place tonight. You have neighbors that don't have the first clue as to what God can do for them. There's people you work with whose lives are so messed up. And you know what? A lot of them don't have faith. They don't even know how to begin to have faith. But I'm here tonight to tell you that God is looking for some people in this church that will have faith for their neighbors, that will have faith for people they work with, that'll have faith for their family members, that they'll say, oh, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it to get them into the presence of Jesus. Because Jesus will see our faith on behalf of them, and he'll give us a miracle. We spend too much time criticizing the way people live and criticizing what's happening in people's lives when what God is trying to wake us up and understand, the reason they're so messed up is they're searching and they're looking. They need what we feel in this place tonight, and they need our faith to touch God for them. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then because of murmurings, he says, son, take up your bed, walk. And the Bible says, immediately. Not in 3 weeks, not the next month, but immediately. That guy reached down and he grabbed his bed. I don't think he was like, no, I think he grabbed his bed and he was like, because he couldn't walk. He had been paralyzed, but now he had strength in his legs, and Jesus had done a miracle. And I think there were probably four friends up on the roof, and they were running around saying, yes, 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 look what God did, because we got our friend into the presence of Jesus. Whew. It does not matter tonight what you need. It does not matter what your situation is. If you can get into the presence of Jesus tonight, everything will be all right. God will take care of it in Jesus' name. I'll never forget, several years ago, I was preaching in Guatemala City at a church right in the center of downtown. The church is three blocks from the General Hospital. And the way churches are in Guatemala, they're built on the sidewalk. So you open the doors, and you're walking on the sidewalk. Like, we build on the property. If the property is 20 by 30, our church is 20 by 30. We'd occupy all the property. And so when you're walking along the street, our door is right there. So during service, our doors are open. And you wouldn't believe how many people we win just by walking by. It's like walk by salvation. You know. But I was on the platform, and they were singing and worshiping, and it was one of those services that it was a real Pentecostal service, that they were running the aisles, and they were doing all kinds of stuff. And I was watching some of the people pass by. And I saw one lady that was probably, I don't know, she looked kind of middle-aged, but she was walking like she was really old. She was all kind of hunched over, and she kind of had a look of pain on her face. And she walked by the door, and she got about halfway. It's big double doors. She got about halfway past it, and she stopped. And she looked in, and I mean, they were going at it, Pentecostal style. And I saw her step back and look up at the sign. It was sort of like Brother Shindel, she was saying, is this a church? You know. And after she stood there and watched for a while, she turned and started walking again. She got to the end of the door, and she put her hand up on the door frame. And she just stood there looking inside the church. And she had kind of a look of longing on her face. one of the ushers stepped out and talked to her for a few minutes and invited her to come into church. And she came in. He brought her over to the far side and sat her beside one of the faithful ladies in the church. And I watched her during the rest of the service. She never sang. She never clapped her hands. She never worshiped. She just watched people. And every once in a while, I'd see tears go down her face. And when I got to preach, I preached a message of faith that night. I used a lot of scripture verse. And it was really cool because the lady she was sitting beside, every time I gave them a scripture, she would look for it and then hand her Bible to the visitor, which I thought was really cool. And the lady would read the verses. When I got done preaching, I gave an altar call. And the altar call was just simply, whatever you need, come to this altar. Jesus is here. Jesus will meet your need. And that lady was the first one up. She came out of her pew, and she walked over to the far side of the platform. And she just stood there looking at me. She didn't close her eyes. She didn't start to pray. She just had tears just going down her face. So as the altar service got going, I stepped down off the platform, and I went over to her, and I said, Sister, I said, do you have a specific need that you want us to pray for? And she looked at me, and she said, first of all, Pastor, she said, I'm not a sister. She said, I really don't know that much about God. My family has never been religious. She said, I really don't even know if I've ever been in a church a day in my life. But she said, I've just spent the last several weeks, or months, I guess she said, in the hospital. And she said, the doctors just sent me home to put my house in order. And she undid the button on her sleeve, and she pulled up her sleeve on her blouse. And her arms were a mess. She had, like, lumps all over her arms. And she said, these are tumors. And she said, they're all over my body and all over my legs. And she said, now they've invaded all the main organs in my body. And the doctors just said, there's nothing more they can do. And they told me to go home and tell my children and put things in order because she said, I have about 2 more weeks to live. And she said, as I was walking down the street and I heard the singing, and she said, I didn't really understand all that I was seeing, but she said, I could feel something. And she said, I got to thinking that if the doctors can't help me, maybe God would have mercy on me. And she said, I came into the service, and she said, while you were preaching, she said, that sister, that lady that was sitting beside me, kept giving me her Bible, and I got reading all those promises that you were talking about. And she looked at me, and she said, Pastor, she said, I believe that what you preached on and what is written there is true. And that if you will pray for me, that God will completely heal me. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but this is a lady who had never been in church, she thinks, a day in her life. And she looked at me and she said, I believe that what is written there is true. That hit me like a ton of bricks, because sometimes we come to church week after week and month after month and year after year, and when we're met with the need, we say, well, I hope God hears. Well, you know, I hope that God answers, and the pastor prays for us, and in our mind we're thinking, well, if God wills, let me tell you something, church, God wills. By his stripes, we are healed. He went to Calvary. He went through what he went through because he wills, because he wants to meet our need. We need to understand tonight that these promises are not just decorations that we can set up in the church and say, oh, how pretty, oh, how nice. This is truth. This is the word of God. These are promises from God's word. And God comes through and he meets our needs. I called the pastor over. My wife and the pastor's wife came up and a couple ladies. We began to pray for that lady. It wasn't a couple minutes, and she started jumping up and down and grabbing her arm and touching her leg, and she began to say, they're gone, they're gone, the tumors are all gone. When she got done jumping, She pulled that sleeve back up again. That arm that had been just ravaged with bumps and tumors was as smooth as my arm. God did an instantaneous, immediate miracle in the life of that lady. Let's stand together right now. You can say, Brother Brad, she wasn't even baptized. She didn't have the Holy Ghost. She wasn't even UPC. She is now. As a direct result of that miracle, not only was she baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, 24 members of her family. They're now in the church, faithful and worshiping God. That's the book of Acts. You see, church tonight, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we come from or what our background is. What we need to do tonight is put our faith in God and trust His word and know that if He promised it, He will come through. And I'm not preaching tonight that it doesn't matter what you believe, because it does matter what we believe. But I am here to say tonight that the power of God is readily available to anyone who puts their faith in His word and puts their faith in God. You see, the devil comes and the devil says, who do you think you are? You're not worthy. Who do you think you are that God would meet your need? Look at what you've done. Look at what you've been. God does not care about you. You know what? In part, the devil's not lying. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve anything. Maybe my past is bad, but you know what? I don't receive because I'm good. I receive because He's good. And His mercy endureth forever. So when the devil comes and he says, you don't deserve it, who do you think you are? You just need to give the devil a good swift kick and say, oh, I'm not here because I'm good. I'm here because of what Jesus did for me. I'm here because He's good. I'm here because His mercy endureth forever. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's worship Him right now, church. God inhabits His praise. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe the musicians can come back. You know why the people were so amazed that day when that lame man got up and grabbed the blanket? It really wasn't the miracle that amazed them. Because why did the people come? They came because they knew if Jesus is there, the lame will walk, the blind will see, there'll be miracles. They came to see those kind of miracles. It wasn't the fact that that dude got up and grabbed his bed and took off running. I believe that what amazed them and what left them so awed was the fact that four guys had such radical faith that they get up on that roof and they tore a hole in someone else's roof because they said, whatever I've got to do, I'm going to get into the presence of Almighty God. Church, I believe tonight that God is looking for some people with radical faith. People who will say, whatever I gotta do, I'm gonna do it. I'll worship, I'll praise Him, I'll exalt Him, I'll believe His word. But I'm gonna have faith that if I get into the presence of God, God is gonna take care of everything in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. We're gonna open this altar up tonight. If you have a need tonight, I want you to come to this altar. But don't come begging and pleading. Come with your hands raised to heaven, worshiping and praising and exalting God. Because as you praise Him, you can receive the Holy Ghost. As you praise Him, you can receive healing and deliverance and victory in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Let's fill this place tonight. Let's raise our hands up and let's praise Him and let's receive.